I was there with a group of Lutherans from the United States to learn about the mission of the church in Africa. I was in my late 20s, and it was a life-changing experience. 8 of us had traveled for several days in a Land Rover to arrive at a Finnish and Lutheran compound that had been situated in the countryside. It seemed far outside anything else to me, but there were various tribal groups that lived in the area. The Finns and Norwegians had cooperated together to build a hospital, a school, and a church at the center. And people from miles around would come to their medical clinic or to go to the school. As Americans, we were their guests, and we were treated in the best way they could. We were fed tiny Norwegian sandwiches for dinner, and we were also offered a Finnish sauna. My first sauna was in the middle of Tanzania. But one night, we were sitting around having conversations, and we were talking with a doctor who was telling stories about his work there. And he told this story. A young woman from one of the villages in the area was brought to the hospital, and she was terribly ill. The doctors discovered that she suffered from gangrene. She'd had an injury to her leg, and the gangrene had entered her body. It would need to be removed in order for her to be able to live. So they told her about this, were preparing for surgery when she refused to have her leg removed. They couldn't understand it. Why would she choose not to have her leg removed when it was a life or death decision? And they tried to convince her, but to no avail. They talked with her family and other people from the tribe, and they began to realize that she was part of a tribe where it was not acceptable to have a limb cut off. She would be banished from the tribe if she lost her leg. Well, she might as well be dead. Now, the doctors thought that this was ridiculous. She was a young woman. She had a lot of life ahead of her. This seemed terribly tragic and unnecessary. So they went to the tribal chiefs and asked them to come to the compound to see if they could discuss with them this matter and see if their attitudes would change. And the chiefs did come, and they did deliberate for several days, in fact. The woman was getting sicker, but they talked and they talked and finally came to the doctors and said that they had a decision. And they decided that if her leg was removed, she could come back to her village, but she would need to live on the edge of town. She would need to live in one of the huts on the margin of the village. The villages were kind of in circles for protection. Now, to live on the margins of the village would mean that she would be left vulnerable. Vulnerable to the wild animals that came into the village and could harm her, and she would not be protected. And also vulnerable to the villagers, for she would be subject to abuse and not protected by the village. She was not considered fully human, one of them. The margins were a place of half-life. You're not in or out. A place of non-belonging. And this was not a place she wanted to be. So the doctor said, when the chiefs went home, they went back to the woman to discuss what she wanted to do. And she had been living in the hospital compound now for several weeks, and although she was ill, she'd observed the things around her, and she began to attend the church congregation that was there. That congregation of community was a mixed group of people, the Finns and the Norwegians, as well as people from the various African tribes that were there. It was a mixture of people with illness, people who cared for those with illnesses. And in that community, she began to experience a different kind of belonging. She realized she could be accepted as she was. And when she discovered what baptism was, that it was God's claim on her to be whole, to be called, to have a meaning and purpose in the world, she decided she wanted to be baptized. She would be legless. She would have the surgery, but she knew she would be whole. She did not want to go back to her people if it meant life on the margins. But she wanted a new tribe, a new people to join who would welcome her as she was, flawed and broken, but also whole. She wanted to live in Jesus now, and there was no going back. This story opened me up to understand more about healing than a cure. That to be healed is not just to be alive, from a scriptural point of view. It is to live fully. To be healed is also a word for salvation. It is to be brought into relationship, received and loved. The definition of healing in the New Testament, to be healed is to be able to give praise in community. To belong to God in trust and to be in relationship with others fully and free. In my lifetime, I've never found a community that realizes this dream completely. For the church communities, as we know, are human, are they not? But at the same time, I've never been able to go back to a people who live in small circles of fear. Jesus calls me towards a wider reach, stretching boundaries, bringing the insider in and also the outsider in and the insider out. The church, not ideal community, is to live centered on Christ, dying and rising to new life, with Christ at the center. Those at the margins are folded in. Part of God's work is work in and among us as the church, making us new, that others be made new as well. Our gospel story today shows Jesus inviting all of 10 lepers to be saved. All are healed, and one returns. Who is the one who returns to give thanks? With great surprise, it is the outsider, it is the Samaritan, it is the enemy who models the wholeness of salvation. Not only cured, the Samaritan realizes that he has been welcomed in relationship to God and to others. And in that welcome, he gives thanks. He shows gratitude. Also, the story of the insider turned out is the story of Naaman, the powerful commander of Aram. He is one of the most powerful people in his land, and yet he seeks help for his skin disease. And it is more than his skin disease that is the problem. For his disease has separated him and isolated him from others. But so has his status. So has his great wealth. So has his power and his pride. It is only in desperation that he's able to listen to people on the margins of his insular and protected life. Who directs him to healing but a slave girl from Israel? Where does he find healing but by an obscure prophet, Elijah? And he is healed by the most humble of means. He has to wash his face in the river water of Israel. Not even in the river of his nation, the most powerful one in the world. We see this one who's been on the inside, on a journey that takes him to his most vulnerable self. He wants to prove his greatness, and yet he is invited to simple humility, to find community with those that he'd previously pushed to the margins. We all need people who are like us. Yet we also realize that those that we think most unlike us are really like us. Salvation happens when we recognize God on the other side of the lines that we've drawn around ourselves. And this is the power of Jesus. He is at the center welcoming us to stretch the boundary lines and the margins of our lives. He invites us to join the race, the human race, the messy, perplexing, horrible, and profoundly beautiful human race. For this is where he joins us, in a manger, as a baby, vulnerable, on a cross, wounded and suffering. As gift, as grace, he calls us to live in the dream of the whole where all have gifts to share and a love that binds us. No, there is no going back. To live in Christ is to live wounded and thankful It is to be broken and whole. It is to be both insider and outsider. There is no going back. Thanks be to God.